cross, and I would love to do that, to cross. All right. When was the last time you grew 40 centimeters in 1 year? I've never grown 40 centimeters in 1 year. When was the last time your company grew 40% in 1 year? Oh, many times. I think 1995, 1996, 1997, my company grew 40%. And 2004, 2005, 2006, and 7, this company grew 40% a year. It grew very quickly. I'll be right back.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan.
Sí, ya está abierta.
Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te pueda ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Una clase de inglés Vaughan no es igual que las otras clases de inglés. En una clase de inglés Vaughan el tiempo se optimiza al máximo. Cada minuto cuenta para tu empresa y cada minuto cuenta para tu inglés. Es una cuestión de pura matemática. Cuanto más practiques las estructuras esenciales del idioma, más confianza tendrás al usarlas en la vida real y más eficaz serás comunicándote en inglés. En este mundo globalizado, comunicar con eficacia es un sine qua non del éxito. A través de las clases presenciales o clases de videoconferencia, Vaughan hará que marques la diferencia para tu empresa.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933-398-687, en Madrid en el 911-335-831.
Hoy en día muchos piensan que con las nuevas tecnologías ya no va a hacer falta encargar traducciones profesionales. Pues yo creo que no. Yo sigo viendo barbaridades por ahí cuando se intenta traducir con máquinas. Encontré hace poco que el Centro Botín, es decir, de la Fundación Botín, creo, es traducida como Loot Center, o sea, centro de saqueo. ¿Botín? ¿Saqueo? Bueno, pero yo creo que no. El casco antiguo de una famosa ciudad española se traducía como Historic Helmet. ¿Casco? ¿También se puede decir yelmo histórico? ¿Cómo dice la máquina? Helmet, yelmo, casco, ¿qué más da? Hasta en los restaurantes de más prestigio se pueden encontrar joyas gracias a la tecnología traductora. Peppers with beautiful, o sea, pimientos con bonito. Muy hermosos serán esos pimientos, digo yo. Habitas con jamón. Fácil para la tecnología. You live with ham. O sea, tú habitas, yo habito. Todos, por lo visto, habitamos con jamón. Pues, es verdad, supongo. ¿Quién querrá vivir sin jamón? Fino tío Pepe. Thin Uncle Joseph. Bueno, sí le noto un poco más delgado al tío últimamente. Y ya lo más legendario, rape a la marinera. Rape sailor style. O sea, violación al estilo marinero. Bueno, no creo yo. Estos son ejemplos curiosos, divertidos, pero miles de escritos importantes salen de España con errores importantes. La palabra escrita lleva más la imagen de una persona o de una empresa que la palabra hablada. No se la juegue cuando se trate de traducir algo importante. Confíe en los profesionales. Confíe en Vaughan. Vaughan Translations.
La Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello, welcome back. Okay, to our third half hour, let's get going. Is it a good practice, in your opinion, eh? Is it a good practice to lend money to friends? No, it's not. It's not a good practice to lend money to friends, but it's a problem, because if a friend asks you for money, what are you going to do? Say no? To lend money to a friend. To lend is prestar. To lend money. Have you ever lent money to a friend? Yes, well, it depends on your definition of friend. Yes, I've lent money to friends. And have they paid you back? Usually they haven't. And it destroys the friendship. Well, it doesn't destroy the friendship, but it makes the friendship strange. What you call enrarecer, you know, makes it strange. And so, it's a problem. Richard, have you ever borrowed money from a friend? Never. Well, I borrowed, 100 pesetas. Oye, ¿me dejas 100 pesetas para? Or something. 10 euros para un taxi. And I listen, I'm in a hurry. I don't have any money on me. But no, I've never borrowed money from a friend. I never will. I'll die of hunger before I borrow money from a friend. Never. Now, if a friend offers me money, and I'm dying of hunger, I'll probably accept it. But I'll never, if the friend doesn't offer me money, I won't borrow money from a friend. It's not a good practice to lend money to friends, because it creates tension in the relationship, and the friend often doesn't pay you back. I would say maybe I've lent in my life maybe a total of 10,000 euros in my life. That's going a life of a professional career, 47 years. I've maybe lent maybe 10,000, and I've gotten back maybe 2,000. So I've lost 8,000 euros in 47 years. Yeah, I remember one person. She said she would pay me back by check, and her checks constantly bounced. To bounce means no cheque sin fondos. She started paying me back. She said, I'll pay you back over the next 2 years on a monthly check. And the first check bounced. The second check, it was just a mess. And so she never ended up paying me back. So have you ever lent money to a friend? Yes, I've lent money. Have you ever borrowed money from a friend? Have you ever borrowed money from a friend? No, I haven't. Have you ever lent a book to a friend? I'm sure I have. I can't remember lending a book to a friend. Libro prestado, libro perdido. I mean, talking about this, presta dinero a un amigo, pierdes el dinero y pierdes el amigo, which is quite true. Eh? And I swear that's true 70% of the time. Eh? Or 80% of the time. That's my experience. And so, and you lend a book to a friend, you never end up getting it back. And you know, I have a book. Somebody lent me a book, by the way. A very good book, very interesting. I read it from start to finish. And I don't remember who lent it to me. Somebody gave me the book and said, oh no, I'm not giving it to you, I'm lending it to you. But now I don't remember who it was. And it was by a Swedish author. And I can't remember the name of the book. But it's a very good book. I recommend it. All right. Book by Swedish doctor. He's a doctor. About world. I can't remember what the name of the book is. Factfulness. Yellow. It's a good book, by the way. Factfulness. 10 Reasons We're Wrong About the World. and why things are better than you think. Yeah, this is a good book. Factfulness, the facts. And I agree with him 100%. Yes. It's an interesting book. And because people believe, because of the media, because of the news you see on television or you read in the newspapers or you hear on the radio, you think the world is a valley of tears. You think things are getting worse. My God, vamos cuesta abajo, and it's not true. Vamos cuesta arriba, pero mucho. You see? And this book, written by this Swedish doctor, called Factfulness, The 10 Reasons Why We Are Wrong About the World and Why Things Are Better Than You Think. Now, this book, in Spanish, I don't know what it's called, because I read it in English. Let me see if I can find it in Spanish. Find what and I recommend you buy it. I really do. Yes. I recommend you buy it. If I can find it, the name in Spanish. Let's see. Let me find it. Maybe Factfulness. Maybe on Wikipedia I can find it. And on Wikipedia, then there's an English version on these things. Factfulness. Nope. I can't find the name in Spanish. But I recommend it. And it's the by Ola Rosling, Factfulness. And so that's, somebody lent me that book. If you're listening to me now and you want the book back, contact me and I'll give you the book. I'll give you the book back. But I don't remember who lent it to me. And I remember specifically that the person in question didn't give me the book. I asked, oh, is it a gift? I said, no. When you finish, give it back. But I don't remember who it was. I guess it's old age. All right, to borrow a book. But it's true that when you lend a book, usually you never see it again. And the book I have, unless the person gets in contact with me, he or she will never see the book again. And I've racked my brain. To rack your brain. trying to remember who gave me that book. To rack my brain. And I can't remember. Racking your brain means tratando. It means romperse los sesos, tratando de recordar. So, I really don't know who gave it to me. Well, who lent it to me. So, to lend a book, to borrow a book. All right. Do banks lend money to people? Or do banks borrow money from people? Both. But banks borrow money from people and lend money to people. But when they borrow money, not anymore. They pay interest. They don't pay you interest anymore. For a current account, they don't pay interest. In fact, it costs you money to keep your money in the bank. But it's a problem now. We need to, the banks are too powerful. The banks and the legislation makes the banks complicate my life more than help me. So I'm not, banking is going to change a lot. Banking, the banking industry. But banks borrow money. They take money and they lend it. So they have depositors and borrowers. Si ingresas dinero en el banco, you deposit money in the bank. If you're a client of the bank, well, you are a depositor. Now, if you go to the bank because you want a loan, you want to buy a car, and then you are a borrower, and you borrow money from the bank, and you have to pay back the loan with interest. So, do private companies usually lend money or borrow money? Private companies usually borrow money. In fact, they never lend money. A private company hardly ever lends money. They don't lend money. They can lend money to, for example, my company is a private company. This company is a private company. Uh-huh. And is Iberdrola a private company? No. E-Bridgeland is a public company. Okay. It's a public company. But in English, a public company means una compañía que cotiza en bolsa. That's a public company. Una compañía, una empresa pública, is a state-owned company. State-owned. Se poseído por el Estado, en manos del Estado. Cetarse, compañía española de tabaco en rama. I'm not sure if it still exists, but that's a state-owned company. It belongs to the Enresa, Empresa Nacional de Residuos Reactivos. That's a state-owned company. They operate a bit like a company, like a normal company, but they are owned 100% by the Spanish state. And the Cetarsa belongs to the Ministry of Agriculture, I believe. But I'm not sure if it still exists. Cetarsa. Compañía Española de Tabaco en Rama. I think it still exists. Yes. All right. And they have a very, very good factory. I've been there. I visited the factory in Talayuela, very near Navalmoral de la Mata. They have factories in Navalmoral, in Talayuela, and in Plasencia. Very interesting company. About they control the production, not the sale, the production of tobacco. Most of it in Extremadura. Most of it in the province of Cáceres, to tell you the truth. Most of it. So, and they say, nuestro principal objetivo es mantener la renta del agricultor. And I agree. I agree, because I spent some time, I know this company fairly, or I used to know this company well, now I don't know. The Tarsa. But that's a state-owned company. Now, my company's private, because if you want to buy shares in this company, you have to buy them from me or from my partners. You can't go to a secondary market like the Spanish Stock Exchange and buy shares in Vaughan Systems. You can't. So there are three types of companies: private company, public company, and state-owned company. And in Spanish, you would say compañía que no cotiza en ninguna bolsa secundaria, y empresas que sí cotizan en bolsa. Y luego compañías públicas, empresas públicas. And so it's a bit different. So you need to remember, in English, when you see the term public company, it doesn't mean the state or the government controls that company. Now, a private company, the management and the owners can make decisions quite freely. In a public company, que cotiza en bolsa, you have to follow certain rules in accounting and in reporting. Okay, let's go on. So, do large companies ask for big loans or small loans? Well, large companies usually ask for big loans. Richard, is your company heavily in debt? No. This company isn't heavily in debt. Fíjate cómo digo pesadamente en deuda, o sea, endeudado. We say to be in debt, estar en deuda. Now, in Spanish, you say, estoy en deuda con usted. I'm in debt to you. In English, you can say that too. I'm in debt to you. However, you say, I am in debt, usually in Spanish, estoy endeudado, which means I have debts. Fíjate cómo la B es muda aquí, debt. Everybody in Spain makes that mistake and they say debt. Debt. I'm in debt. I'm not in debt, personally. I don't have any debts. Although I'm thinking about going into debt. What do you mean you're thinking about going into debt? I mean, my God, you should celebrate the fact that you are not in debt. Well, I'm thinking about going into debt because of the inflation. You know, if the interest rates are at 1% right now, if I can get a loan, if I can take out a mortgage on one of my properties, if I can take out a mortgage at 1% and inflation reaches 5%, well, it's a good business. I'm doing a good business. So maybe I'll go into debt. Maybe I'll go into debt. But I don't like debt. I don't like debt. And I don't have any debts now. I have paid off all of my mortgages in my life. And so it's a nice feeling not to have any debts. Yes, but so do you owe anybody money? No, I don't owe anybody money. I don't owe anybody any money. Hay mucho any aquí. No debo nada de dinero a nadie. I don't owe any money to anybody, or I don't owe anybody any money. Yeah. Does anybody owe you any money? Oh, yeah. Yeah. People owe me money. There's some people from 30 years ago still owe me money. A famous football player owes me money. Well, he owes my company money. Yeah. To owe. O-W-E, I-O-U. I-O-U is yo te debo. I-O-U. Pero también es un pagaré. Te daré un pagaré. I'll give you an I-O-U. I'll give you an I-O-U. Now, Richard, do you owe Nacho a favor? No, I don't know. Do I owe you a favor? No, I don't owe you a favor. No? Does Nacho owe you a favor? No, he doesn't owe me a favor. Yeah. Te debo un favor. I owe you a favor. I owe you. I owe you. Practica la pronunciación con O. Pronunciación que suena a O-U. O. I owe you. Do you owe me a favor? I don't owe anybody a favor as far as I know. I don't think I owe anybody a favor. Does anybody owe you a favor? I don't remember. I help people all the time. But I don't help people expecting anything in return. You have an expression in Spanish, haz bien sin mirar a quién. Bueno, yo hago bien y no me importa. It's different. I help people. If I can help people, I help people. Yeah. So, for example, this morning, when I finish this class, I'm going to take somebody to Canto Blanco, just north of Madrid. Otherwise, that person's going to have to go by public transport. And it will take an hour for that person to reach Canto Blanco, to the university, to the autonomous university. And so I'm going to take that person there in my car because the person has to do una gestión, un trámite, just a... You know, I don't know how to say that. You know, it's interesting. There's certain words that they use in Spanish. Un trámite is a bureaucratic step. A procedure, a formality. But we don't have a word for trámite. Yeah. Hay muchos trámites. There are a lot of formalities that you have to complete. It's a lot of procedures. And you say gestiones. Tengo que hacer una gestión. So it could be paperwork, some red tape. Paperwork is papeleo. Red tape is burocracia. Continues to say red tape. It's interesting, the word red tape. Tape means una cinta. Pero no una cinta de pelo. It's a ribbon. O cinta de máquina de escribir is a ribbon. Ribbon. But tape is a cinta. Como papel celo is tape. It's una cinta. Now, in the 19th century, in Great Britain and in the United States, the lawyers performed the functions, the bureaucratic functions, the paperwork. It was necessary. And when they had accumulated all of the documents, they tied them with red tape, con cinta roja. I'm not sure if that was a British tradition or an American tradition. And so in English we say red tape. Hay mucho papeleo burocrático. Yes. Para conseguir una licencia de armas, Richard, you want to carry a gun? Yeah, I want to carry a gun on me. Or I want to keep a gun at home. Now, to buy a gun is not easy. You need to have a license. Yeah, but there's a lot of red tape. Hey, Richard, is it true that you want to buy a gun? No, it's not true. I don't want to buy a gun. And I don't have a gun. Well, would you mind having a gun? Well, to tell you the truth, I'd rather not have a gun at home. I'm not against gun ownership, but me personally, I would rather not. I'd rather not have a gun. But to get a gun license, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of red tape to get a gun license. So for a firearm, arma de fuego firearm, there's a lot of red tape. So, but bureaucratic steps that you take, los trámites. It's interesting that the word trámites o gestiones, tipo gestona, gestoría, is very difficult to translate into English. Because in the Anglo-Saxon world, historically, life is less bureaucratic. The concept of bureaucracy, the concept of trámites burocráticos, of paperwork, is much stronger on the European continent. France, Germany, Italy, Spain. It's much stronger. I remember a movie called Permesso Avanti. I think it's called Avanti, with Jack Lemmon. Avanti, Jack Lemmon, yeah. I think it's called Avanti. Yes. In Spanish, it's called ¿Qué ocurrió entre mi padre y tu madre? In English, it's called Avanti. And the director was Billy Wilder, producer and director. And screenplay was by Billy Wilder, an outstanding. And it's called Avanti in English. Let's see if I can find it in the English version of... I can't. Avanti. It's a 1972 comedy, American comedy. Now, there's a moment during the... that Jack Lemmon goes to Italy because his father dies in Italy. And so he has to go to Italy. Now, certificado de función. He has to get a death certificate through the Italian bureaucracy. And part of the movie is the difficulties he has getting a certificate to take back to the United States that his father has died. And there's a funny moment in which finally all of the papers, he has all of the papers, and of an Italian civil servant, un funzionario italiano, sits down at a table with all of the necessary documents for the death certificate. And inside his jacket, he takes out stamps, los para sellar, in triplicado, bam, bam. And he stamps about 20 times. With both hands, he's stamping. And you can see that's very typical of the European continent. Starting with Otto von Bismarck in Germany, who really consolidated the concept of bureaucracy. And then France was not far behind, and Spain and Italy. They're very, very bureaucratic. Now, Great Britain and the United States are also very bureaucratic. But a little bit less. A little bit less. For example, for me to renew my driver's license in Spain can take several days. To renew my driver's license in Austin, Texas, my U.S. license can take 15 minutes. It's really quick. Including the photograph, everything. Of course, they don't force you to take exams. Here you have to take, here it's more complete. You know, they send you to test psicotécnico and these things. You don't do that in the States. Maybe unless you're 80 years old or more. I don't know. But if you've never seen the movie Avanti, which in Spanish, I repeat, is called ¿Qué ocurrió entre mi padre y tu madre? Okay. So, I haven't seen the movie from start to finish. But I've seen parts of it, and it's funny. But everything that Billy Wilder does is good. Con faldas a lo loco, that was Billy Wilder, you see. And so he was a very good, very, very funny. 1, 2, 3, etc. Tell Paco, okay, I owe you a favor. You owe me a favor. Do you owe me a favor? Do you owe me any money? All right. Tell Paco to ask Pepe if he owes anyone a favor. Paco, ask Pepe if he owes anyone a favor. Paco, Do you owe anyone a favor? No, I don't. To owe. And now I have to say goodbye, but in 4 minutes I'll be right back, so stay close to the dial and don't go away.
Baugan es un curso de inglés para niños entre 4 y 9 años, donde combinamos el método Baugan con la magia de Disney. Si tenéis hijos entre 4 y 9 años, les esperamos en todos los centros Baugan. Puedes consultarnos en grupobaugan.com. Y no te olvides que la formación continúa con el Club Junior y todas las ofertas de formación de la línea Junior de Baugan.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online, the Baugan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Baugan.com.
¿Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesitan en el colegio? ¿Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores? ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi idioma, lo que les llevará, con trabajo eso sí, pero con trabajo estimulante, a llegar a ese nivel de dominio capaz de sorprender. Club Junior de Baugan. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupobaugan.com. ¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTVE a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Baugan RTVE a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma, píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Baugan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Hello, this is Fitz of No Excuses. Do you know the English expression, you never know until you try? Well, with video conference classes, you never know until you try. Many people will say, no, no, it can't work. It can, and it does. You never know until you try. Vaughan Video Conference Classes.
Ah, Platón, amigo, déjame hablarte de la paradoja del ejecutivo con el lengua.
¿La qué, Aristóteles?
En el futuro, todas las mujeres y hombres importantes de la Tierra necesitarán comunicarse en la misma lengua para prosperar en sus trabajos, o de lo contrario, no podrán ascender y obtener grandes ganancias. Esa lengua se llamará inglés.
Ajá, lo comprendo, querido Aristóteles, pero sus trabajos y el quehacer cotidiano mantendrán a los hombres y a las mujeres ocupados, y no tendrán tiempo de aprender el foráneo lenguaje. He ahí la paradoja.
Este es tu máster. Infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Y recuerda, también disponible en Valencia y Barcelona.
Ahora más oportunidades de aprender inglés donde y cuando quieras mediante un formato mixto y por teléfono. Clases telefónicas Vaughan. Combina conversaciones fluidas junto con las correcciones propias del método Vaughan, cuya naturaleza dinámica y 100% interactiva lo convierten en la mejor opción para este formato de clase. Recuerda que el signo distintivo de nuestras clases es la calidad del profesor. En Vaughan no es suficiente con un alto nivel de inglés. Nuestro estándar es la excelencia. Todos nuestros profesores son nativos y atraviesan un riguroso proceso de formación en clases telefónicas. Clases telefónicas de Vaughan. Ahora donde quieras, cuando quieras, pero con Vaughan. Llama al 911-133-5833. 911-133-5833 para Madrid o llama al 933398687 933398687 para Barcelona.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back to our last half hour. All right. Do you almost always or hardly ever work past 8 p.m.? I hardly ever work past 8 p.m. Does almost everyone or hardly anyone have a television set? Well, that's an interesting question. A television set, we don't use that term anymore. So hardly anyone has a television set. Because when you say un televisor, yeah, in Spanish we still use the word televisor, even though it's a pantalla plana en la pared. Yes. But we still, I guess, yes, almost everyone has television at home. Almost everybody. I don't know anybody who doesn't have television. But, you know, I should visit Guy Williams, because Guy Williams, our historian, he's often reluctant to join to adapt to modern technology. For a long time, he didn't have a cell phone. Finally, he gave in and bought a cell phone. But in any case, TV. Almost everyone has TV at home. Almost everyone. Does almost everyone or hardly anyone speak excellent English in Spain? Well, neither one. To speak excellent English, I would say about 1%. But that's a lot of people, because 1% of the people in Spain is almost 500,000. And so, yeah, about 500,000 people in Spain speak excellent English. That means they have a very solid, powerful command. Well, powerful. Powerful depends on your ability to communicate, not on your mastery of a language. But I'd say maybe 1% of the people in Spain have a level C2 or C1 plus. That's an interesting question. How many people in Spain have a nivel C1? 1 million? C1 o mejor. A C1 or better. I would say maybe 1 million people. And that's 2%. Or 2.5% of the population has a level C1 or better. 1 million people. You see, when you look at statistics and they say 20% of the Spanish population speaks English. All right, 20%. First question is, what do you mean speaks English? I mean, to what extent? How well do they speak English? That's one consideration. Second consideration is, look, convert the term 20% into numbers and see that 20% is almost 10 million people, and there's no way, from my own experience, that 10 million people in this country speak English. No. 10 million people in this country know a little bit of English or a lot. You know, have desde nociones hasta dominio total. Eso 10 millones, sí. But if you go to the people who are retired, I mean, how many people are retired? Yes. ¿Cuál es la, you know, qué porcentaje, what percentage of the people in Spain, qué es un porcentaje de la población española es 65 años o más? So you could see that 20% personas mayores de 65, 9 millones, 19.3%. And of those people who speak English well, to get any dominio in English, probably 0.5%. Very, very few. And then if you look at children, you would see maybe 10% of the population is under 10 years old, and they don't speak English either. So already we're taking 30% of the people out of the pool. Then people from age 11 to age 65, okay, there. What percentage? Maybe 2%. Maybe 2%. Speak English truly well. Dominio del inglés. All right, so hardly ever, hardly, almost always, almost everyone, hardly anyone. Do you almost always or hardly ever watch figure skating on television? Could you repeat the question, please? Yes. Do you almost always or hardly ever watch figure skating on television? I hardly ever watch figure skating on television. All right. Do you almost always or hardly ever watch ski jumping on television? I hardly ever watch ski jumping on television. Do you almost always or hardly ever watch the cycling on television? And now I hardly ever watch cycling. I started watching it a little bit when Pedro Delgado won the Tour de France, and then, well, and then Miguel Indurain, and then Armstrong, Lance Armstrong. I started paying more attention to it. But now I don't. I hardly ever watch cycling on television. Do you almost always or hardly ever watch women's basketball or women's football, soccer, on television? I hardly ever, or never, to tell you, well, no, hardly ever watch female soccer or female basketball on TV. Hardly ever, casi nunca, almost always, casi siempre. Do you almost always or hardly ever have dinner at home? I almost always have dinner at home. Does almost everyone or hardly anyone in Spain know who Jordi Pujol is? Oh, almost everyone in Spain knows who Jordi Pujol is. Yes. Does almost everyone or hardly anyone know who you are? Me. I would say maybe 40% of the population in Spain knows who I am. Yeah, maybe 40% of the population. Again, you need to eliminate the children between age, between birth and age 10. The young people don't know who I am. Most young people don't know who I am unless their mother is following me or their father, unless their parents are forcing the kids to listen to Vaughn Radio on the way to school in the car, something like that. But no, no, no. But almost everyone knows who Jordi Pujol is, yes, in Spain, almost everyone. Do you almost always or hardly ever call information when you need a telephone number? Never. Well, hardly ever. Gosh means vaya. Gosh. It's in the form of suave, they say God, Dios. Gosh. The last time I called information was in the United States. In 2003. 9. I remember perfectly. I was driving from Austin, Texas, to Houston, Texas, in a rented car. Now, in the United States, it's not illegal to use a cell phone in your car when you're driving. It's not recommendable. It's not recommended, but it's not illegal. Now, around Katy, Texas, Katy, K-A-T-Y, which is a bedroom community of Houston, Texas, and there was a lot of traffic entering Houston from the west, I decided to skip Houston and go on to Galveston. I decided to skip Houston. To skip means to go around. Saltar Houston y seguir camino. For another 80 kilometers to Galveston, Texas on the coast. And to stay in a hotel. But one specific hotel. If I couldn't get a reservation in that hotel, I would stay in Houston. Well, this was 12 years ago. If I hadn't been able to get that reservation, I would have stopped in Houston. So I said, okay, I'm going to call information because I was in my car. I don't know the telephone number of the hotel, a specific hotel. What's the hotel called? My God, it's a famous hotel. My parents went to that hotel on their honeymoon. Famous hotel. In Galveston. Ah, the Galvez. It's called the Galvez. Galvez. Con Zeta. The Galvez Hotel. If you ever go to Galveston, I recommend the Galvez Hotel. And so I dialed, and I remembered by heart from 40 years before, or 35 years before, I remembered the telephone number for information in the United States, for long-distance information, 555-1212. 555-555-1212. That was information. And directory assistance. So I got my cell phone driving in this heavy traffic entering Houston, and I called 555-1212. And a lady came on the line and said, may I help you? Yes, long distance information. Said, yes, I'm driving. I said, I live in Spain, but I've rented a car and I'm driving between Austin and Houston. But I want to go to Galveston to the Galvez Hotel. If they have a room, I'll continue. I will bypass Houston and go to Galveston. And the operator said, oh, you're from Spain. I said, no, I'm originally from Houston, but I've been living in Spain for 35 years. Wow, what's it like? I said, yo, it's fine. Can you give me the number to the hotel? No problem, I'll get you that number. And about 20 seconds later, she comes back on the line, said, I have them there waiting for you. I'll put you through. Le pongo o le conecto. I'll... Claro, en español se dice le pongo. In presente, le pondré. I'll put you through. And they put me through to the Galvez Hotel in Galveston. Said, yes. Listen, do you have a room for 3 nights or 2 nights? I don't remember. And they said, yes, we do. Okay. Well, I'd like to make a reservation. I gave my name and things. And said, I'll be there in 1 hour. Because I needed to drive into Houston, go around on the loop. The loop is la carretera de circunvalación de Houston. Loop 610, it's called. I think it's called Loop 610. Loop 610. Yeah, that's in Houston, yeah. Loop 610. And so I went around Houston, from the west side of Houston, around to the east side. And then got onto the highway to go to Galveston, which passes by the NASA facilities, las instalaciones de la NASA, on the left. You see them. And I went down to Galveston, to the Galvez Hotel, to enjoy the Gulf of Mexico. So, But I hardly, that was the last time I used information. 555-1212. All right. Do you almost always or hardly ever understand Andalusians when they speak? Andalusians, when they speak Spanish, I almost always understand them. Yes. Now, if you go to certain areas of Andalusia into a bar and listen to two Andalusians telling jokes, you might have some trouble understanding them. Do you almost always or hardly ever arrive late for work? Never. Well, no, hardly ever. Once in a blue moon, I hardly ever arrive late to work or get to work. I hardly ever get to work late. I hardly ever arrive late. Yeah. I almost always have to wait, especially in restaurants. I always arrive on time. It's very rare for me to arrive late. Something terribly unusual has to happen for me not to arrive on time. And so I end up waiting for other people. Other people, that's typical, but that's okay. I'm used to it. 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 I am used to it. Pronunciado, I mew, todos muda. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Suena un poco como el adjetivo amusing. I'm using, amusing. I'm using. Yo estoy usando, I'm using. I'm using my old car today, not my new one. I'm using. I'm used to it. Estoy acostumbrado. I'm used to it. Waiting for people. Thank God for cell phones. Yes. Because with a cell phone, I can read the news. As I'm waiting, I can take advantage of the time. Before the advent or the introduction, before the advent of cell phones, I had to ask the restaurant, excuse me, do you have a newspaper? And usually restaurants now know, but usually back then, in 1985, 1990, 1995, usually, up until 2010 or 2008, you know, when Apple introduced the iPhone, well, that's when it became, we started gaining access to more information than just using the telephone for text messages and voice messages and voice and telephone calls. So with the iPhone, we could navigate the web. We could tap into the internet and get information. So starting around, you know, up to 2010, probably waiting in restaurants, I asked for a newspaper. And if the restaurant didn't have a newspaper, then I spent my time looking at the wall or reading the menu, la carta, memorizing, because usually I would say when I go to restaurants, the average wait is about 10 minutes. No, I would say maybe 5 minutes. So if you take all of the times I've gone to a restaurant to meet somebody and have lunch, I would say they arrive on the average maybe 7 minutes late. So on the average, I have a 7 minute wait. That's an average. No, I would say it's longer, 10 minutes. But for a person, when I have lunch with people, I think maybe 5% of the time only, that person arrives on time or early. 5% of the time, a person arrives before I do. 95% of the time, the person arrives after I do. And I don't usually arrive early. If it's 5 minutes early, I stay out in the street checking my emails or something, and then I go in 1 minute. Just punctuality. I don't know why I'm so punctual. But this is a common trait in the Anglo-Saxon world. American people are usually very punctual. Usually. The British, I believe, as well, are usually very punctual. In Spain, no, the people are not punctual. But I've learned to live with it. It doesn't really bother me. Sometimes, but usually it doesn't bother me. And I know one person who always arrives early. He always gets there before I do. He said, no, I do it on purpose. I know you. With my wife, I've lied to her on 3 occasions about the starting time of an event or of a get-together. 3 times I've lied to her, saying, it starts at 2 o'clock. She said, what time, darling, what time does it start? What time do we have to be there? We have to be there at 2. When in reality, it was at 2:30. But I told her 2 o'clock. Why? Because that was the only way to arrive on time. Otherwise, because she never starts getting ready. The secret of arriving on time is leaving on time or starting to get ready on time. Punctuality in the preliminaries provide punctuality in the, you know, in the outcome, the final destination. So I remember on 3 times, she got angry. Well, angry. She was irritated with me the 3rd time when I admitted, because we got there about 10 minutes early. And she said, well, there are very few people here. And I said, well, it really starts at 2:30. Oh, you told me 2 o'clock. I said, yeah. That way we arrive 10 minutes early and not 20 minutes late. So, because in that particular case, I don't like arriving late. I don't like it. It makes me nervous. And I don't know why I have that. I didn't get it from my parents. I don't know why. Maybe from sports. School, I have no idea where I got that compunction of arriving on time. Compunction, I've never taught that word. It's an interesting word. Compunction. That obsession a bit with punctuality. And I probably spent 6 months of my life waiting. Compunction. Así se compunction. Compunction. Repulo. Dice aquí, reparo, remordimiento, no, escrúpulo. Eso sí, I'm very scrupulous in